We've been doing a series on the Word of God. And man, I tell you what, I have personally enjoyed this very much so. I hope you all have as well. We've been going through the scriptures here, and we've been looking at three Greek words that get translated as the word word. But let me just jump off right here. John 1:1-3. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Bible students, who are we talking about right here? Jesus. Come on, like you mean it.
Jesus.
There you go, Jesus. That's exactly who we're talking about. And see, and here's the thing about Scripture is that all Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, point to Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Every bit of it points to Jesus. Amen? Jesus is perfect theology. But this word right here, whenever it describes Jesus, the word that's used here is the word logos. Let me give you a definition. I'm just going to try to review real quick, and we're going to dive into this morning. But it's logos, which is a word uttered by a living voice that embodies a conception or an idea. That embodies a conception or an idea. So, Jesus is the logos of God. He is the embodiment of God's idea. Amen? And so, this is the way we looked at it last week. If you can put this on the camera, that would be great. Okay, so that word logos. So, if I do this right here, what does that word become? Logo. Jesus is the logo of the Father. And so it says that in John 1, I believe it's 14, 15, and 16, that he who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. And so Jesus was in the bosom of the Father, and he came to earth to show the world God. Amen? So Jesus is the logo of God. Now, how many of you know that, you know, we live in a world filled with logos, right? And so when we see certain logos, it makes us feel certain things. Amen? So I'm going to put a logo up here just for a test, okay? When I draw this logo, name it. What's that? Okay, now, boo or cheer according to how you feel about that. All right, so here's another one. And you need to name it and boo or cheer accordingly, okay? Okay, so here's the deal. Some of you apparently have a lot of emotions regarding that logo. Maybe you need to deal with it at the end of service with prayer. I don't know. But here's the concept is that whenever we hear the phrase, the Word of God, it makes people feel either really positive ideas or really negative ideas. And I want you to know that our soul's response to even the phrase Word of God is important. Because some people can hear the phrase Word of God and think of all the many different ways that they don't measure up, but they wish that they could. And some people can hear the Word of God and they can remember when God spoke to them and how those words were life, those words were hope. They remember those words like it was, their life depended on it. Amen? And so can we just agree that sometimes our soul may not be in alignment with God's attitude towards the Word of God? Amen? So whenever Jesus says Word, or whenever the Father says Word of God, he thanks Jesus. Because he was the logo of the Father. He is the Word of God. Now here's the deal. Let's go to the next one. I took a little bit too much time on that one, but Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is the second word that we get for the word, word. Word? All right, all my 90s brothers are out there. Come on. The second word is rhema, that which is uttered by the living voice, a thing spoken, a word, any sound produced by the voice having a definite meaning. And so here's the concept. Jesus said in John 10, my sheep will hear my voice. Meaning this, that if you are a believer today, that you have an inner ear. You have an inner ear around your heart that has the capacity to hear what the Father is saying to you. Amen? Amen? Yeah, you can hear the Father's voice. It is your birthright. It's your destiny to hear God's voice. Amen? Okay, so today is graphe, is a writing or a thing written. This is what we all think of typically when we say Word of God is His Bible, and it is. Amen? And so, but this is the graphe, and it's a writing or a thing written. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. I want to pray and just bring us here into focus right now. And so, Father, I ask God, by your Holy Spirit, that your words would be illuminated. And Father, that our inner ear, our natural ear, Father, would be wide open to hear today, God, your word come alive before us. And Father, I thank you for this body. I thank you for each family that is here, that is represented. And so, Father, today, let your word fall on the hearts of men and women. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Greek, that phrase breathed out by God, or God breathed, is a compound word, really one word put together, a compound word. In the Greek, it's God's spirit. So it's saying like, so all scripture is God's spirit. It's God's spirit. And so check this out. So whenever God was creating the creation, scripture says that he spoke and it was formed, right? But whenever he created man, it says that he formed man with soil with his hands, and then he breathed into it life. In the same way, whenever people first wrote the scripture, what the Apostle Paul is getting at is that God's spirit breathed on those men who wrote these scriptures. His very own spirit breathed into them. And as they wrote, they recorded God's testimony. They were recording God's story. This God's spirit moment. How many of you understand that that is a holy, holy process? God's spirit was breathing on them. His word was given to us as a gift to know him. He breathed. He breathed to form man. He breathed on man to form them right down the scripture. That's a holy process. I remember as a kid, a little guy, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, right around in there. I remember whenever I was sick, where I was tired, where I was afraid, or I couldn't sleep, my mom would snatch me up and lay my head on her chest and my ear to her chest. And I could hear the sound of her breathing. And that sound of her breath was like a soothing sound that within minutes, I was out. In the same way, the purpose of the Word of God is that you could hear him breathing. That this God's Spirit Word, that this living, abiding Word, that we would be able to hear the sound of his breath and find comfort in it. Amen? See, the Bible is the concrete, tangible testimony of God. How many of you like concrete things? Tangible. You can see it. The Bible is the concrete, tangible testimony of God. And it is filled with his plan of redemption through Jesus. It is the inspired, inerrant word of God. It is his story in the earth. The Bible is the final and ultimate authority in all matters of faith and practice. In his scripture, we see his character, his nature, and attributes are seen clearly through this compiled testimony in scripture. The Bible in and of itself is a statistical miracle, a written testimony over thousands of years involving millions of people with multitudes of authors, and yet complete harmony, all of which pointing to Jesus. It is a statistic. This book is a statistical miracle. And in his word, we see God as Father, our Lord, our provider, our salvation, our healer. We see Jesus as the Lion and the Lamb and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We see angels of heaven declaring the praises of God, the coming of our King. We see them proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah, our hope, our salvation. In his word, we see this. And one of the biggest reasons we need his written word is not for brownie points, to compare ourselves with one another. The reason we need his word is maybe, just maybe, you need to see him as provider in scripture so that in your life you would experience him as provider for your life. That in his word that you might see Jesus as Savior, then in your life that you might experience him as Savior in your everyday life. His testimonies are true, they are good, and they are right. And see, this living word is meant to introduce you to the living, breathing God who is all around you. Woo! That was fun. I want to introduce to you another word. It'll be on the screen. But it's this word called canon. Not canon kaboom, but like canon, C-A-N-O-N, which means rod, rule, or measure. And so there's this concept called canon of scripture that you, in order for scripture to be scripture, it has to abide by certain rules. It has to come in under the rod. It has to come in under this measure of authority in order for the word to be the word. Amen? And see, canon of scripture is why you don't have, how many of you ever seen stuff on TV talking about the Gospel of Thomas and conspiracy theories about the Dead Sea Scrolls and stuff of that nature, the Da Vinci Code, all of that? All that's hogwash, okay? All right? Because it doesn't fit within the canon of scripture, and I'm about to explain it to you in a fun way, I hope. Are you tracking? Okay, so in order for the Bible to be the Bible, it must be directly linked to Jesus while he was in the earth. Jesus must have referenced it or spoke to it. And so Jesus, he referenced the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, or it had to be from a person who had personal contact with the person of Jesus. That's why we have the writings of the apostles. Amen. And so it had to come from someone who had firsthand contact and had to agree with the overall testimony of who Jesus was. Now, here's the fun part. How many of you have ever heard of this concept of 6 degrees of separation? Okay, a handful of us. 6 degrees of separation is basically this theory that you are connected to someone famous through 6 degrees of relationships, meaning you know someone that knows someone that knows someone that knows someone that knows Barack Obama. You know someone that knows someone that knows someone that knows someone that knows President Trump. See, in college, we played this game called 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon. Did anybody ever play that game? Yeah, okay, so basically the idea of this game, we played it a lot in college. I was terrible at it because I'm the guy who doesn't know anybody's names. That dude who did that deal is how I described it, you know. But the idea of it in that game is that somebody would pick a random movie, and then you have to pick a character who is in another movie that was in another movie as in another movie till eventually you would land with a movie with Kevin Bacon in it, which was usually Footloose, but you had six tries to get there. Is this making sense so far? Okay, so here's the thing. Now I'm going to draw you a picture about the degrees of separation regarding this, the canon of the New Testament. So I'm going to write right here, a capital J, for the person of Jesus while in the earth. Okay? So that's the first degree right there. Okay, so, and then from the living person of Jesus to an apostle or a scribe, then to the writing. Okay? So from Jesus to the apostle is one degree, from the apostle to the writing is the second degree. And so what gave Scripture its rule or its authority is because it was so only 2 degrees of separation from the living person of Jesus while in the earth. Are you with me so far? Yes. Now this is where it gets really super duper exciting. I know this is a learning deal, but I'm telling you, Christians need to learn. Okay, so now, so that's 2 degrees of separation. The third degree is you. You're only removed from the physical person of Christ when he walked the earth only by 3 degrees of separation. Are you with me so far? And so whenever you read the scriptures, especially the letters, you are reading it from someone who walked with Jesus in physical form. Does that get anybody excited? Maybe just us Bible nerds or whatever. But I want you to know something. Now here's where it becomes really cool. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. Holy Spirit can speak to you. Holy Spirit can illuminate his word to you. Amen? And so now the degrees of separation are now become points of encounter. See, you have an opportunity to encounter the living God through his written word, through his spirit, through a multitude of ways. He is the God who dwells among us. He is the God who is with us. John 1:14 says this, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the word of God with skin on. 1 John chapter 1, starting with verse 1, this makes it very clear. That which was from the beginning, this is the Apostle John talking, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Who is that? Yes. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested to us. And so John is saying, look, we were with him. We saw him. The eternal life, the word of life, who was with God. Guys, I've seen him, is what John is saying. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and these things we write to you, that your joy may be made full. Oh my goodness. This living word draws us into an encounter with the Father. That it was the divine plan of God that he would inspire men to write these words down so that we might know and have fellowship with the Father. And to fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Through the Holy Spirit, I'm drawn into an encounter with him because he is revealed in the God-breathed word. He is revealed in the God-spirit word. I'm telling you, we live in a day and age where people need something concrete. This is concrete. This is concrete. This is tangible. You can hold on to that. But even when you doubt people, when you don't trust those around you, whenever everything around you is shaking and you don't know what to think, you can always trust this. Here's the deal. Whenever I set myself to read his word, I'm positioning myself for an encounter. Did you catch that? Whenever I read his word, I'm positioning myself for an encounter. Now, I would be willing to bet about 99% of the people in this room can read. And I do realize that there are those who struggle with that. But folks, you plus the Holy Spirit can do anything. Amen. And whenever you set yourself up to read this word, you are setting yourself up for an encounter with him. Why? Because his word is God's Spirit. Come on, that ought to make somebody happy. I mean, here's the deal. You know what this means to me as a born-again believer who lives in America that can go anywhere and purchase a Bible and read a Bible, that I have ample opportunity to hear his voice, to hear his word for my life. The limits come off. You can hear God. You might want to. People all the time say, I can't hear God. Can you read? It doesn't have to be a lot. But you can set yourself up with an encounter with him through his word. And here's the deal. As I read it, it reads me. I read a verse and something just kind of hops off the page. You know what's wisdom for us today? God, what are you trying to say to me? Yeah. What do I need to hear? Holy Spirit is there to help you with that. His word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man, his words, they are spirit and they are life. Be it written, be it spoken, be it preached in any way, shape, or form, his word comes to you. Man, it is spirit and life. I want to talk to you now about the trap. And jump over here to John chapter 5, starting with verse 38. And he's talking to a bunch of rebellious Pharisees. He didn't mind throwing down with them. It's pretty awesome. And this is what he says. But you do not have his word, his logos. You don't have his word abiding in you. Remember, Jesus is logos. You do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Now here's the situation with the Pharisees. Nobody knew the scripture better than them. Nobody did. They had it memorized like crazy. But the problem was is that when Jesus, the living word, the logos of the Father, stands before him, they didn't recognize him. Something that they had devoted their whole life to, and yet when he shows up, they didn't see him. How many of you understand that that's pretty scary? They had the graphe, but they didn't have the logos abiding in their heart. Their heart was hard, and they were blind to who Jesus was. Here's what I want to tell you this morning, is that if you want to understand this written word, you must understand your need for Jesus. You must understand your need for Jesus, that he is the hope of nations. And see, and that's why this book confounds the world. They don't get it. It's because they don't have his word, his Jesus, the logos, the representation of the Father abiding in them. If you want to understand this, you better get a hold of Jesus. You need Jesus abiding in your heart, and Holy Spirit will be faithful to speak to you through his word. But how many of you Bible readers also know that on any given day, you can find a scripture to support your bad attitude? You can leverage it to manipulate people. You can use it to accuse and judge folks. Are we being honest today? Honest church, right? Right? And see, and that's exactly the trap the Pharisees fell into. Their heart was hard and they didn't recognize the living word in front of them. They didn't recognize the one that they had been looking for. How many of you know that life is messy? I mean, like really messy. Imagine for a moment. Because this is a pretty common, sad, difficult scenario, but imagine the woman who finds out her husband has been cheating on her. She can go to the scriptures and find scriptures to stone him, to cut him. My boy, I'm going to cut you. I mean, I'll tell you right now. You can find verses to have that person count out. You can find grounds for divorce. You can also find scriptures to forgive. You can also find scriptures to reconcile. How many of you know reconciling that all in your life, it ain't easy? How do you reconcile situations like this? Because I can take a verse and make it mean anything I want it to, especially when I'm mad. Can anybody say amen to that? Bible, Jesus said, I should stone you, you know? No, he didn't. I tell you what, and even people can even take this word, read it, and they look at their experience of their life and they can say, God doesn't do miracles anymore. And so what that person does is they elevate their experience above the word of God. Whenever the word of God is so clear that he still is a miracle working God. Yes. That all of his promises are true. That may not be your experience. But your experience is subject to his word that he is a miracle working God. So how do you navigate those times when those messy situations, or when you're needing a miracle, or maybe everything's falling apart before you go, like, God, I just need to hear your voice. God, I need direction. God, I need to know what you're saying through your word. How do I reconcile all of this? Ever been there before? Well, it looks kind of like this. On our knees, in humility, saying, God, speak to me. I need to hear what you would say to me. It's through my prayers, through counsels, through the wisdom of others, through the scriptures, through his word coming to me, abiding with me, that in humility I submit myself, that today, as David says, today when I hear his voice, that I would not harden my heart. See, the condition of our heart is so huge. and being able to receive his word. Folks, we need to soften our heart to his written word, to his spoken voice, to the person of Jesus. You keep working that out. You keep praying. You keep seeking until you hear his voice, till you hear his lead, until you can hear him breathing. Till you can hear him breathing. You know, the Hebrews had this deal. They named the Lord Yahweh, you know, but they couldn't say Yahweh. They could only say the letters. Yahweh. And when you said it slow enough, it was the sound of breathing in and out. Yahweh. Ahveh. He is the God who breathes. He breathed on this, and he's breathing right here. I want to close with this story. I know I talk about movies a whole lot. Maybe I watch too much TV. I don't know. There was a movie that came out a few years back called Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, and it was based on a story, a true story from the 9/11 experience. Anybody ever seen that movie? Only watch it if you want to cry. I'm just going to tell you right now. But essentially, it's a story of this young family. One child family, and this particular little boy had a lot of emotional problems that his dad, played by Tom Hanks, only really understood. Only his dad had a way of navigating him through his emotional difficulties. Well, the dad worked in the towers, in the Twin Towers. And on that day when the towers were hit, the boy's school was released and his apartment was close enough to where he could walk home all by himself. And he gets to his apartment and to his room, and the phone starts ringing. And as the phone is ringing, because of just everything that was going on, the boy is just frozen. But it's his dad who is in the tower trying to call home. But he was too afraid to answer the phone, because of his emotional difficulties, and plus everything that was going on was beyond imagination that particular day, so he's just frozen still. But his dad comes through, and finally the answer machine picks up, and the answer machine just records everything that his dad says. Of course, it beeps and it goes off. And so what the little boy does after he sees on the news the towers collapse is he runs to a local store, buys a new answering machine and swaps it out, puts a brand new answering machine at the table, and he takes the other answering machine to his room. And his mother never caught on to this. And so years later, years go by, and every night where this place where he had this answering machine stowed away, he'd pull it out and he'd play back his dad's voice. And just hearing his dad's voice provided comfort for his soul, provided comfort for him just to be able to hear his voice another time. It's like, I just need his last words. I just need to hear him one more time. Folks, that's what we have with his scriptures. But it's far greater. Because it's not written by someone who lived and died and was gone. No, it's written by someone who lives forevermore. Yes. And these are his concrete recordings. It's the recordings of his voice. It's the recording of what he's been saying throughout all time. And it is his word to us. It's concrete. It's tangible. You can grab a hold of it. You can run with it. You can live life with it. He is speaking to you. He is talking to you. He has wisdom for your life. Amen. There is a God who breathes and speaks and wants to be a part of your life.